We're going to do this session, as all of these sessions, this weekend on prayer. So, I think we need to pray as we begin. Lord, I do thank you that we can come before you. Thank you for bringing us together in this time, in this place. Thank you for those behind the scenes that have made this happen through so much diligence. And Lord, how you brought all of these women here from so many different places and backgrounds so that we can spend this hour together focusing in a unique way on our role in all of this, and most of all on you and the amazing privilege that you've given us to come before you in prayer. So I ask that you would give me the ability to communicate your word. Lord, if there's anything that I should not say, then keep me from saying it, or help them to forget that I said it, and help me just to focus on your word and communicating that encouragement to these dear women. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we've heard all about the shepherd's commitment to personal prayer and leading his family in prayer, and we're going to be, if we haven't already, about, I heard Dusty a little bit this morning, how that works out in the flock. In our session, what I was asked and tasked to do today is to bring this home to us as those who assist the shepherds. And we have a unique role. I mean, all Christians are called to pray. So everything that I say here and everything that is said this weekend goes for every Christian to a degree. But those of us who are involved with ministry and are in some form of leadership, or our spouses are in leadership, we do have a unique role, because we get to see our husbands in a unique role. We see the burdens up close and personal. Perhaps we have children that we're raising together, and so we see home life and the struggles, and we have a front seat to a lot more joys than most, and a lot more sorrows than most. Okay? So if we're in any kind of role of leadership or access to leadership, we see a lot of sorrow and we see a lot of needs. And I think that does put us in a unique place, because I don't know, you've talked to some people, maybe they're young in the faith or their circle is very, very small. And you can see that they don't have the same weight of knowing so much about so many hard situations. And so what does that look like for us? What does it look like to implement all that we've learned and are learning about prayer in our roles? And so I've been asked to focus on that. We're going to do it differently than I would normally do. Normally, I would go through a particular text and exposit that text. Today, we're going to do more of a topical, and this is going to be practical. Not that exposition isn't practical, but our focus is going to be on a number of different texts. And the way that I decided to structure this, because if you teach and you don't have one text, then you got to come up with an outline, you know? And so it really is wonderful when the text just gives you your outline. But I decided today we're just going to ask questions, okay? We're going to ask questions, and then I'm going to strive to begin to answer those. But my goal is not to cover everything. My goal is to elicit your curiosity so that maybe you have lots of questions that we're not even going to cover, but you're going to go home and in your own personal study and your own personal walk, you're going to focus on these. Prayer is such an amazing privilege, and I really just want to start there. Because if you've been a Christian a long time, prayer can become such a part of your life that I think that we sometimes take that privilege for granted. But I want us to just stop and say how amazing it is that we have access to Creator God, the God of the universe, all of his perfections. And we, as mere sinful mortals, can talk to God. Now, it's not because we're good enough. We know that. It's not because we're just we're his favorites. We're special. No, it's because of the access of Christ through his life, his sacrifice, his resurrection. He is our intercessor. He's the one through whom we can approach God. But that's just amazing that we, at any moment, day or night, anywhere we are, have immediate access to the throne. Now, prayer, as in the term, has become a little bit popular lately. I mean, there are a lot of people who would talk about prayer. But it's not unusual to hear, you know, you should pray. But often, popular prayer is either the Christian-ish, prayer changes things, and I want to go, God changes things. Now, yes, we pray, and God chooses what he's going to do. He's already chosen. Anyway, we'll get into that another time. But we pray. Prayer doesn't change things. God changes things. Or prayer is more thought of as reflection, calming one's own spirit, connecting with yourself or with the world and nature, or sending out positive, affirming thoughts to the universe. Okay, well, that's not prayer. So, as I mentioned, our goal here is to take some questions, to strive to answer them, to wrestle with this while we focus on how we're going to live this out. So, the first question, what is prayer? We know that it's not sending positive thoughts out to the universe. In the Partners Discipleship curriculum that we use here, chapter 4 gives this definition. Prayer is, and you don't need to write it down unless you want to, a mental activity by which a person directs and offers his thoughts to God. It also engages our emotions and feelings, but the intent is to express the content of one's thoughts. Okay, that gets us started. But I don't want to stop there. So, for our starting text, I would like for you to turn to Psalm 62:8. Psalm 62:8. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. The second line, pour out your heart. Prayer, at its essence, is pouring out our hearts to God. It's not trickle, okay? It's pour. It means lavish. A massive spillage is how one of the definitions worded it. It's huge. It's gushing. Okay, so it's not a trickle. It's a pouring out. And what that means is, whatever, and we'll get there, whatever we're feeling, whatever is happening, whatever circumstances, it's a lavish pouring out of our hearts to the Lord. Prayer is not, I'm going to pull myself together, and then I'm going to come up with a way to talk to God, to be impressive to God, to be, you know, maybe if I pray really well, then he'll overlook that I'm not who I need to be, or I'm going to pray a certain way in public so that I make sure I sound really theological. Okay, it's a pouring out of everything. And David does this, doesn't he? I mean, I'm so drawn to the Psalms because there's nothing held back. That's prayer. Nothing held back. Lavish. In fact, it may allude to the pouring out of the drink offerings before the Lord. It's an earnest, deep, heartfelt communication with God, like Hannah in 1 Samuel when she's pleading with God for a child. And what does the priest think about her when she's pouring out her heart to the Lord? She thinks she's drunk because there's nothing held back. She's crying out. Pouring out her heart to the Lord. Tom puts it this way, what breathing is to our physical bodies, praying is to our souls. We absolutely can't survive without it. As a Christian, we pray. If we don't pray, we need to examine our souls, because a Christian wants to talk to the Lord. So, what are we to pray about? It's not a hard answer. Whatever is on our heart. Okay, we categories in the Lord's Prayer last night. Was that helpful for you to see those? I mean, that lesson when Tom first taught that years ago was truly life-changing, transformative. And so to know that all of those areas are covered in prayer. And we'll see more as we move on, but the essence is we're to pray about everything. We praise, we adore, we confess, we ask, we give thanks, we deal with the needs of life. Everything. We are to pray about everything. When are we to pray? Now, we'll go through several times that we are to pray, but I want to focus on one particular time, and that is when we are anxious. Okay, one of the main areas where we live, maybe it's just me, but with anxiety, there's a lot, as we talked about, we've got a lot of needs that we are exposed to, not in our own, even in our own lives, in our own families, but in our church family and beyond. And so we have many opportunities to turn that into anxiety. I teasingly texted Christy the other day. She was asked, said something, and said, I hope that didn't make you anxious. And I said, oh no, I'm really good at that. Just give me a minute and I can be anxious about anything. Okay, I don't even have to work at it. I'm really good at it. But we have a lot of opportunities to be anxious. So we need to deal with praying when we're anxious. And I think the text has probably already come to your mind, Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Don't be anxious about anything. Pray about everything. My dad used to say, he was a Bible teacher for over 50 years, if you can worry without ceasing, you can pray without ceasing. And he taught me this simple exercise that I still use to this day. I've got one of these going right now. It's a worry list. Okay? And I've kept all my worry lists from the last number of years. So a few weeks ago, I came across one. And it's funny, actually, when we look back to 8 years ago and what we were worried about, because we see what the Lord has done. And like, I was so uptight about that. And look what he did. So write a worry list, and you write down everything you're worried about, everything you're anxious about, and be honest, because if anybody else saw my list, they'd go, she's worried about that. Okay, because we each have our own things that maybe don't make somebody else anxious, but they make, hear my language, we're tempted to give in to, we're tempted to anxiety and worry and distrust. So make your worry list. Then, so you've got worry list written on the top, and you cross out worry and put prayer and thanks list. And then you work through it. Now, what I have found is I've actually, most of the time, I flipped prayer and thanksgiving, and I thank God for it first. Because by the time I've worked through my list and I have truly from my heart said, Lord, it probably starts like this. I don't like this. I'm not enjoying this. I'm scared. I'm nervous, whatever it is about this. But because you're good, I'm going to trust you and I'm going to thank you for this. And so I go through and I thank him. And it's hard sometimes. Sometimes it's easier than others. Sometimes it's really tough to go, Lord, you know the hypocrisy of my heart. I'm not going to say this. So, Lord, I don't feel thankful right now. Help me to be thankful. But I'm going to thank you right now because I know that this is from your hand. Every circumstance is through your hand and from your hand. Therefore, I can thank you. So I thank him for everything. Well, by the time I worked through that, guess whose heart has changed? Okay, now I'm in a right frame of mind where I can then go through and instead of demanding my will be done, that's not prayer. Rather saying, your will be done. Because I think you all feel this way, but I told Tom yesterday, the older I get, the more I realize what I don't know. And I don't know much. I know what's revealed in Scripture. Not as well as I should. But that's what I know. Everything beyond that about what should be and how the world should be and what should happen to my children and what should happen to this or what should happen to my ribs or I don't know. I really don't know what's best. And so your will be done. So now I've got my head in the right place and my heart, the Lord's already changed my heart to where I can go through my worry list that I've crossed out and said, thanks and prayer list. And I can say, Lord, your will be done. Lord, your will be done. It's the same prayer for everything. And if there's something, you know, Lord, I'll say, Lord, it seems to me that this would be a good outcome. And so if it's best, then would you work that? But Lord, I don't know what's best. And so your will be done. So by the time I'm done with that, guess how my heart is? It's at peace. What do you know about that? That's what God promises. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And so that process of really breaking that down of don't be anxious, but pray. So that's one of the main times we pray. But we also are to pray in every circumstance. James 5:13-14. Is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He's to sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him. We're not going to get into the complicated issues of this passage. The big idea is we pray about everything. When we're suffering, when we're happy, when we're sick, every circumstance, every emotion should bring us to call out before our God. Our deep grief, our deep agony, our deep pain, our deep loss, our incredible joys, our overwhelming thankfulness, every single emotion, every single circumstance should draw us to pour out our hearts to God in prayer. Let's cover some more. Meals. Before we're involved in a task or service. Before, during, and after difficult conversations. Whenever needs arise. Whenever we're aware of a blessing or good gift. I mean, drive around. Thank you for the sun. Thank you for the trees. Thank you that we have roads that are paved. Thank you that we have trash service. You know, I mean, everything. Thank you, Lord, for all the blessings that we are so surrounded with that we don't even see them because we're so accustomed to them. So we pray all the time. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So remember the psalm that we started with, Psalm 62:8. Trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart. All times. When we wake up in the middle of the night. When we first wake up. Now this one's a challenge. This one requires discipline. Okay, at least it does for me. You know, I wake up and I go, ouch. And then my second thought, you know, Lord, this is a new day. I woke up. Thank you. Help me to keep my eyes on you as I'm getting ready, as I set out for the day, as I seek to love the people that you have in my life. Lord, my day is yours. This is what I think it's going to look like, but I know I have no idea what's really going to look like. So praying all the time. As ministry wives and partners, stop and pray with your people. You know, we can't always do that. I mean, if we did that, we would never get into the worship center. But realize when there are those moments and you're in a small group or whatever and someone mentions something, stop and pray. I'm not saying you have to every single time, but make it a pattern of your life. When you're on the phone with a girlfriend or someone that you're reaching into their lives and discipling and a need arises, stop and pray or finish that phone call with prayer. Make it a part, as it should be, not only of your own soul, but of your interactions with others. And sometimes you can even do that with strangers that open up to you. Mm-hmm. I've made a good friend out of our ice cream truck driver. Okay? Bree, she's great. And she stopped to see me last week because she's pregnant, and so she can't keep her route. And so I'm getting texts from the ice cream lady. But she had a difficult pregnancy, and so she had a moment, and we prayed together while she was in the ice cream truck, you know. And so that's an opportunity where wherever we are, stop and pray. And again, it's not, you know what I'm saying. It doesn't have to be every single time. But it should be a pattern of our lives to lift up our hearts before the Lord. And trust me, I am still working at this all the time. The busier we are, the more often we need to stop and pray. Too often in our Western world, we are so schedule-driven. We are so time-driven. We see our to-do lists. Maybe it's just me, and dive right in instead of saying, okay, there are so many things going on that I need to stop. Instead of getting busier, I need to stop and carve out this time to lay all of this before the Lord. So the busier we are, the more we need to pray. That takes discipline in a world of doers. Now, we also can take advantage of lots of times to pray. In the shower, while we're getting dressed, while we're driving. I'm not so good at the grocery store. I can't discern milk, pray all at the same time. I just can't do it. But constantly striving whenever we can to draw our minds back to the Lord, back to His Word, back to prayer, where it becomes the habit, where every time that we can, we draw our minds back to the Lord in the middle of the night. Okay? In the middle of the night, our minds can go rogue. And to bring back our minds. Now, sometimes it needs, for me, if I start praying about it, I'm so good, I can turn prayer to sin and start worrying about it instead. But to bring it before the Lord and say, okay, Lord, I can't even pray about this right now, so I'm going to sing this song in my head, you know, with the lyrics, or I'm going to rehearse your attributes in alphabetical order and try to come up with one for X every time. And, you know, but controlling our minds to where we're constantly Godward, whatever we're doing. So when are we to pray? All the time. Structured times. I've talked about a lot of unstructured times, but you've heard a lot more about structured times. That is a necessity. And scripturally, you see most often, at least starting the morning with it. Not going to be legalistic and say if you don't have your prayer time in the morning, every morning. But we should, as a habit, have time set aside. And it tends for most of us to work better to have that earlier in the day, or else it's late at night and we're done. And so having some time, and this is a time when you can have your lists and your notebooks. I tend to work better in categories. praying through all the elders, praying through the deacons, praying through my ministry wives, praying through the seminary wives, obviously every day praying for Tom and my daughters, and then praying for extended family and all my nieces and nephews that aren't in the Lord, and then can pray around the block, okay, knowing my neighbors and praying around the block and praying for Bree, my ice cream lady, and all the medical people that are now all my best friends because I've spent so much time down at UT Southwest that we're on a first name basis. Okay, so I pray through my doctors and I pray through my nurses. You know what works best for you. So if you're a notebook with a category and that works best for you to have a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday list, do it. Whatever helps keep you focused. And we need to constantly be working on that balance where it's not all supplication, but where we begin with adoration. And where does that lead us? To confession. Every time we look at God's amazing attributes, we're seeing ourselves. Confession, thanksgiving, all of that needs to be a balanced part of prayer. So, structured and unstructured, scheduled and spontaneous, praying all the time in all circumstances. What does prayer show about our hearts? Psalm 62, where we started, it says, "Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him." So what does that tell you in Hebrew poetry? When you've got trust in him at all times, O people, pour out your heart. What does that tell you that pouring out the heart is? Trust. Okay, it goes back to the concept of trust. Flip to 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7, please. Okay, he's talking to young men initially, and then he says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." So here we see that humility has something to do with casting all of our anxiety on him. But what do we often do? We think we can handle it. Whatever it is that we're not praying about, we have an independent spirit about. We think we've got this. John 15:5 says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." Okay, we can't do anything. Well, we can't breathe without him. Our hearts don't beat without him. But in spiritual service in our lives, we can accomplish nothing of any eternal value apart from his empowering that. We can have all the effort and all the discipline, but if we are self-reliant and resting on our own strength and our own abilities, it's nothing. It counts for nothing. So apart from me, you can do nothing. So let me ask you this. What does it show, and I alluded to it a minute ago, when we are not praying about something? What does it show? It shows an independent spirit, self-reliance. What's the biblical word for that?
Pride.
Pride. I made you say it out loud because I have to make myself say it out loud. It's pride. When we have an independent spirit, when we have a spirit that says, "I've got this," even when we're unaware of it, we don't say, "Lord, I've got this." But because we're not praying about it, that's what we're saying. Because we think we can handle it. Okay, Lord, I'm going to pray about the big stuff, but the rest of this, I'm just going to tool along. And that's why he wants us to pour our hearts out to him about everything. "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, casting all your care upon him." So it shows pride So we confess, Lord, I am acting independently from you again. I didn't pray about this. And you know what? We're going to do that every day. We're going to say, wow, I dove right into that and I didn't pray about it. Or Lord, I got going and man, I can tell like the moment that I started relying on myself instead of you because of what came out of my mouth or what was in my heart or what was on my face. Okay, forgive me, I was not walking in your strength. I did not bring that before you. So what encouragement to prayer does God give us? So much, I mean so much that we would be spending, we could be here a really long time. But I want to look at a couple of places. First of all, right where we were in 1 Peter 5:7. And this is really what I want to leave you with. Yes, I've tried to encourage you, maybe I've challenged you, but I really want you to be comforted. 1 Peter 5:7, what's that last phrase? It says, casting all your anxiety on him. Why? Because he cares for you. Because he cares for you. Back in our passage when we were looking at Philippians 4, the phrase before, do not be anxious, is the Lord is near. The Lord is near. God wants us to pour out our hearts to him because he cares for us. He's near. He's not far off. When we pray, it's not that we're this little bitty grain of sand on the planet and he's way far away. It's that he is near. You've been aware of this, I'm sure, in the bleakest moments of your life. There is a palpable, and I'm not going charismatic on you, but there is a palpable comprehension that he is near. I'll try not to cry. The night Tom's cardiac arrest, some of you know Tom had a cardiac arrest, and he's gone. And the Lord used the medical field to bring him back, and he was in ICU on ice. That night when I went back and I was in bed, I was amazed at the peace of God that was a fortress around my heart. Just inexplicable, beyond comprehension. And I knew that God was near. I knew he cared for me. And I knew that I didn't know what was going to happen. But yielding all of that, I knew that God would be God and God would be good. That's not me. Trust me. That's not me. That's the Lord consistently showing us, and especially in those darkest, bleakest moments, that he is near and he loves us. And that's what I also want to encourage you. Galatians 2:20. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We rightly pray our Father, okay? Because we're like I mentioned earlier, we're not like God's favorites, okay? We have siblings in Christ, but Christ doesn't love us en masse. He loves us personally, because before he ever made the world, he chose each person who he would bring to himself. He loves you, 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 me, individually. Let that soak in. Meditate on that, and you know what's going to happen when you meditate on he loves me, he's near to me, he cares for me. You're going to pour your heart out to God because he's your heavenly papa, he's your heavenly Abba. And just as you would with a kind father, and some of you have them, and I'm sorry, some of you did not. But God is your kind heavenly daddy, that you can cry out to him about everything. And he doesn't chide you, and he doesn't say, foolish person. He knows us. He knows what we're made of. You know, I'll come before the Lord, Psalm 103, and say, I am so made of dust. You know that I'm just a dust bunny. I mean, I'm made of dust, and I'm acting like it. Thank you for loving me when you know me, when you know what I'm like. I don't hide anything from you. And yet you choose to love me. And the more we understand his love, his care, his tenderness, his nearness, then the more we open up to him about everything. Because we understand, we're not trying to pull ourselves together so that we can present a good front before God and know how to pray according to this method or that method or keep up with Wednesday's list. Okay? We pray because we can't help it. It's like breathing, and we bring everything before the Lord, no matter what. Rehearse all of the pictures that God gives us of himself. Here are just a few to get you started. Refuge, rock, stronghold, fortress, father, friend, Lord of hosts, sun, shield. There's so many. Someday I'm going to write a whole list of everyone that I come across. And I'm sure somebody else has done it, but I want to do it for myself because it'll make a bigger impact on me to say, these aren't just like storybook pictures. No, I mean, like, take one. This one was on my mind this week with all of the world upheaval, and I was talking with the mother of a soldier, and it's a tenuous world, and her son might get shipped out. And I was realizing the Lord is the Lord of hosts. Remember when the Lord drew back the clouds and they could see the hosts of angels? That's all the time, but we're blind to it. The Lord is not allowed us to see that. But like right now in the whole world, God is the Lord of hosts. There's nothing outside of his control. He's not wondering what's going to happen. So just one of those, stop and really think about it. And what does it do? It draws your heart to pour out your heart to the Lord. What about the times when we don't even think we can pray? When there are no words. I think of Psalm 62:1, my soul waits in silence. But I also want you to turn to Romans 8:26. Okay, Romans 8:28 is rightly a verse that we go to consistently. But let's look for a minute at verse 26. Because there are times when we are so crushed, or we are so weak, or we're in so much pain, whether it's physical or emotional, we can't even formulate a prayer. Look at verse 26. In the same way, and what he means by that is the verses previous, waiting eagerly for our adoption and our new bodies. The Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Then our verse. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good. To those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. That verse is in the context of, we don't even know how to pray. We don't have the words. I was talking on the phone to a dear family friend, younger family friend, who delivered a baby at 21 weeks. She lived for 24 hours and is with the Lord. And she shared with me, I have no words. And so I took her to this to say, the Holy Spirit is praying for you when you don't have words. with groanings too deep for words. And he's praying according to the will of God, and that's why we know that God causes all things to work together for good. So when we don't have words, when we can't pray, we come before the Lord, and it's probably not, I mean, my prayer has often been, help. Even if I don't say it out loud, that's my heart cry, help. And that's as far as I can get. And yet to know that during those times and all the time, the Holy Spirit is praying for us with groans too strong for words. There's such comfort there, and that's the way we know that he's going to work it out for good, because God is praying for us on our behalf, not only interceding when we pray, but interceding when we can't pray. And so I love that blend, because Psalm 62 has both, and that's why I wanted to start there, because it starts out with, my soul waits in silence. His heart was so overwhelmed that it was silent, but he's waiting. He's waiting, and that word waiting in Scripture is hope. He's quiet, but his whole soul is leaning on God for that help. And then he says it again, my soul waits in silence. And then he says, pour out your heart. So it's the two extremes of prayer. The one, and Kidner puts it this way, I love the commentator Kidner. He says, one is the disciplined expectancy of waiting. I don't even have words, but I'm waiting. And the other is the spontaneous unburdening of his heart. And they're both those attitudes of prayer. So what does this look like? You know what this looks like in your life, but let me try to illustrate. We've talked about a little bit of this. We wake up, and our second thought is, good morning, Lord. We discipline our minds instead of picking up the phone, okay? Instead of my to-do list, instead of, oh dear, I've got a paper due today, or what do I have to do at work today, or what do the kids need next, or we say, Lord, I'm yours today. Help me to start out today with a total Godward focus in every moment of my life. And Lord, I'm going to forget. Please bring me back quickly. Please remind me when I get distracted. Please remind me when I am working in my own strength. And remind me quickly so that I can confess and come back. Now, obviously, that's all while you're making the bed, and, okay, washing your face and taking what, you know. But this is where your mind is going. And then you've got the other things that you need to do, and you bring your mind back, and you say, okay, I already have a scheduled time today. Nothing can get in the way of that. Oops, something just got in the way of that. And you say, okay, when am I going to have that scheduled time with the Lord? Where I pour out my heart to the Lord. What tools am I going to use? Valley of Vision. A lot of you have used Valley of Vision. It's a collection of Puritan prayers. That can be very helpful if you need to go through that. I go through that every few years, and sometimes I set it aside because I'm like, okay, I've had a lot of Puritan, and now I'm going to, you know, move to a different era, and I do love the Puritans, but I need a different era, so we're going to go to Spurgeon for a while, even though it's not a book of prayers, that you, or you go to your lists, or your notebooks, or what passage, like Dusty did this morning, what passage are you going to pray through? And remember, one word about praying through Scripture, pray through what the Scripture means, and not what you think that it means, or what you want to say. It needs to be in line with what the text actually means. You pray through Scripture, but you come up with, when is my regular time to pray? And then you get ready, and maybe you're going to school, or maybe you're going to work, or maybe you're taking care of your home, or maybe you're driving down to UT Southwest, and you use that time to say, Lord, prepare me for whatever's coming next. I don't know if I'll have an opportunity to have a clear gospel conversation today, but make me salt and light. Lord, how should I love my husband today? How should I love my kids today? The ones that are here, the ones that are grown. How can I love the people in my church today? How can I love my neighbors today? And all day long, you're bringing those things before the Lord. And then, like I had a moment last night, you're tooling along and the Holy Spirit convicts you and you're like, I was not careful in my speech. Lord, please forgive me. I clearly was self-reliant right then. How can I make that right? Make it right. And then you say, Lord, thank you that you forgive me and that I can seek forgiveness from others. So you're constantly bringing it Godward, where every thought, every circumstance, every problem, every blessing, you turn Godward. And when you fail, and when you get off track, because you will, you again come back in confession and say, Lord, forgive me and help me from this moment forward to pour my heart out to you in constant, moment by moment, Godward focus and communication based on my position in Christ. So as you travel back to your normal life, this is what I want to take with you. Trust in him at all times. Oh, women. Pour out your heart before him. Why? God is a refuge for us. I'm going to close in prayer, and then we're going to have a few minutes. And I would love for you to take, if you don't know the people next to you, or if you do, I'd love for you to take a moment and just maybe share a prayer request with the people next to you before you take your next break. So I'm going to close this time in prayer. Lord, we barely touched on the surface of what you make available, but I do, first and foremost, want to thank you again that you allow us to pour our hearts out for you, to you, and that you make a way for us to do that. Lord, help us to relish in the privilege of being your children and continue to work in us that constant attitude and practice of prayer. All of this is because of Jesus. Amen.